That leaves one more chapter before the examination, which you should all know when it is. When is it? Yeah, it's a little bit less than a week from now, right? Because it's a week minus an hour from right now. And I haven't told you this yet, I don't think, but for examinations, you'll need to bring a Scantron form with you. The college has, a few years back, stopped supplying them for free. So you have to buy your Scantron forms. Not like they're exorbitantly expensive or not, but you have to remember to bother to get them from the bookstore. So they're the 50-question green Scantron forms. And I think they sell them in packs of like six, which is perfect for this course. So one pack, as long as you don't use them for other purposes, will be enough. Just don't forget them, because I won't have them on hand, and you'll have to borrow one from one of your classmates during the test if you don't. Anyway, there's this one chapter remaining, so we have 15 minutes now in the other lecture to finish up the unit. The unit is one test's worth of material. And this chapter we're starting right now is all about the specialness of carbon. We just got through a chapter about the specialness of water. And by the way, water is so fundamental to life that when we do search for extraterrestrial life, which we're continuously doing, it really amounts to looking out in space and finding places that have water. Because if you can't find water, we just move somewhere else. You have to have water for life. Carbon is very important as well, which is why we say that we are carbon-based life. Well, all known life is carbon-based, but carbon is the highlight of this chapter. And the opening slide is a cartoon of the apparatus that was set up in a famous experiment first conducted in the 1950s. And if you want to look deeper into this, the history of this, it's called the Miller-Urey experiment. But the reason this experiment was conducted was to determine whether the molecular building blocks that all cells and therefore all organisms are made out of could have come into existence through normal chemical reactions occurring on early Earth without there already being life. Think back to when we talked about cell theory, which says that cells come only from pre-existing cells, and it's been that way for a long time, right? But obviously it can't have always been that way. There had to have been some original cells that are the ancestors to all of us. And they had to start with things that weren't cells. They were just molecules. Well, early Earth was quite different from how it is today. Very hot place. And we're talking about in the oceans. That's where life started. But the ocean was not rich in those days with organic compounds. And so I need to define that phrase I just used, organic compounds, which is really another way of looking at the focus of this chapter. The word organic in chemistry is completely different from how organic is used at a grocery. Organic in chemistry means carbon containing, but that does not go far enough in its definition. For instance, pure carbon is not organic. If you're using a pencil, what we for some reason call lead still is not lead at all. It's really graphite, which is pure carbon. And it comes off in little sheets nicely as you drag it against the surface, which is why it leaves a trail behind it. But it's pure carbon. Well, graphite is not organic, despite having plenty of carbon in it. So the word organic chemically means more than just carbon containing. Yes, you have to have carbon, Diamond is also pure carbon, so it's not organic. In other words, for organic, you have to have carbon along with other things in it. And sometimes it's nothing but hydrogen with the carbon, but that's enough. So organic, anything that is organic is, first of all, a compound, because you can't have just pure carbon and have it be organic. That's why we use the phrase organic compounds. There are, for historical reasons, some exceptions to this carbon and something else rule. So there are even some carbon-containing compounds that aren't considered to be organic. And the most important one for this class, it's not a very long list of exceptions, but the most important one for this class is carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is not organic, despite having carbon and something else in it. Almost all other carbon-containing compounds are considered to be organic. So that's what it means. The reason that the word exists is because long ago, actually not all that long ago, but for most of human history, or at least chemistry history, we mistakenly believed that things that organisms are made out of are somehow fundamentally different from things that non-living things are made out of. So we called the stuff that organisms are made out of organic material. And we thought the only way to get organic material is from a living or dead thing. You can't make organic things out of inorganic things. That was totally wrong. We just didn't do it until fairly recently, and now it's routine. We can easily make organic materials out of inorganic materials. But as far as this experiment is concerned, the important thing here is that if cells, the original cells, came into existence from stuff that was just raw materials, obviously the raw materials had to be there first. And the raw materials, which are these four major categories of macromolecules that I mentioned and we'll look at closer, those were not really readily available in early Earth's oceans. It was a simple mixture, the oceans back then, which just had a few basic compounds in it. Well, that's what this water-containing bulb represents. This is the ocean, earlier history ocean. So it's not pure water. It's water and methane, things that we knew were there chemically, but no organic compounds and certainly no amino acids, which are specific kinds of organic compounds that are needed to make proteins, which you can't have an organism without, even the first cell. And the heat, they're heating this ocean because, like I said, this is during what was called the Hadean eon of Earth's history, where it was hot as hell is what it's named for. And, of course, there's a lot of evaporation occurring, just like there is into the atmosphere. This bulb is the atmosphere. And it's fitted with sparkers, electrodes, that you can spark now and then to represent lightning, which was not only occurring a lot more often than it does now, but you also have about 800 million years to let lightning happen in the real Earth. This is, of course, mimicking the Earth, so they only ran this for weeks, not millions of years, but almost a billion years before there was life. Anyway, if you just run this and you spark it now and then, and then you, when it rains, you collect a sample now and then, what they noticed is that it did not take very long at all for amino acids, which are not only organic compounds, but the building blocks of proteins, were created, no life involved at all. It's just basic chemistry. All right. So that's the Miller-Urey experiment, and for other reasons that we'll talk about later, eventually there was you had hundreds of millions of years of this stuff just accumulating in the ocean, until there was enough of it that the first cells came into existence because there was so much of this stuff. Okay. Slide two. And this will be the last slide for the day. We see some organic compounds here. Just examples. The examples don't really matter here, but it's not only true that everything here, all of these substances, methane, ethane, ethene, it's not only true that they're all organic, because they all contain carbon, which is the black atom, and something else, in this case hydrogen. It's even more specific than saying that these are organic compounds. We can say that these are all hydrocarbons, specifically. All hydrocarbons are organic, but not all organic molecules are hydrocarbons. Now, the name explains why we call these hydrocarbons. A hydrocarbon is an organic compound that consists of carbon and hydrogen and nothing else. There's only those two kinds of atoms in a hydrocarbon. But I don't want you to confuse this with the similar sounding carbohydrate. Carbohydrates are important, and we'll talk about those later, but they contain carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. Hydrocarbons don't. So hydrocarbons are the simplest organic compounds, and they're just that class by itself, ignoring all the other organic compounds. There's really no limit to the number of hydrocarbons there are. These are just a few, but notice their structural formulae. They all consist entirely of carbon and hydrogen. The importance of organic compounds is not just in biology, by the way. Biology at the cellular level really is just organic chemistry. It's a branch of organic chemistry in a sense, because that's what's happening at the cell level. But organic compounds, organic chemistry, chemistry as a science is a huge, huge field. And it's broken into two also huge, just not quite as huge fields called organic chemistry and inorganic chemistry. Each of those then, no one covers all of either of those. As a working chemist, you are a specialist within one of those two. Just like within biology. No one is a general biologist if you're a practicing biologist. You specify. But anyway, organic chemistry is involving organic compounds and the chemistry or the chemical reactions that occur between them, and that really is what life is a subset of. The metabolism that is life, that's really just a set of chemical reactions within organic chemistry. And that's the importance of the rest of the chapter, but I'll start next time. Or maybe I'll resume next time.